Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Corey.
I'm Garrett.
And we are in a study right now of Philippians. We're in a section from chapter 3, verses 5 through 15 that we're calling Be Like Paul, part 2. Today we're looking at verses 10 through 12 of that. And he's just got through talking about his resume and how that his resume and the things he's done in the past don't mean anything. All that matters is that he knows Jesus. And so in verse 9, he says, that's connected to the gaining Christ of verse 8, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own.
Yeah, so he's going to continue this application kind of where we're supposed to put our confidence. And so his goal in putting his confidence in Christ instead of himself is that I get to know him. And be in fellowship with him and continue to imitate him in a better way. And so he kind of describes for us what that is and what that means here in verses 10 through 12.
And that only happens when we know, if you would turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that only happens when we know Christ in a personal daily walk. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about this in verses 10 through 11, we're going to jump out of Philippians for just a minute and let Garrett read verses 10 and 11 of 2 Corinthians 4.
Yeah, it says, always caring about in the body, the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For if we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh.
And the only way that can happen is humility. So I want the power of his resurrection. The fact that Jesus died, buried, and was resurrected, when I'm in Christ, it totally changes everything. The resurrection of Jesus is the greatest evidence of his power. And I want to be a part of that resurrection. I want my sins forgiven by the blood Jesus shed on the cross. I want to be a part of the resurrection to have, you know, the how do I get out of the grave and have life forevermore. Mm-hmm. Well, it's only through him. But that also means that I may have to go through some sufferings. What he's going through on account of Jesus right now by being in prison, share with what he did for me. Now, it's nothing in comparison to what Jesus did, but I'm going to be conformed to his death. I'm going to have humility. I'm going to be like Jesus.
And this is not a new, it's not a new struggle. We live in a world where we want the results of a lot of time and work and dedication without going through all the time and work and dedication. You know, we want the end result. We want the success story. We want the money or what, you know, whatever's at the end of the road there. But, you know, what comes before that is a lot of work and a lot of maybe uncomfortable less comfortable times in that. And so what he starts talking about here is everybody wants, when we talk about imitating Jesus, everybody wants to be with the Lord and be in his presence and be with him at the end of time. But what that means right now is we've got to keep that in perspective, and maybe that means suffering like he did for a little bit as well.
Yeah, and the suffering is the key. You said works, but understand what he's saying here. Mm-hmm. Back up to verse 9. Our righteousness doesn't come from keeping law. Our righteousness is only because of Jesus. because we've put our faith and trust in Jesus doing for us what we can't do for ourselves, and that's give us his righteousness. We can't be righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and broken law, whether that's the law of Christ, the law of conscience, the law of Moses, whatever. But because of that, that's why I want to suffer, and I want to live for him and keep on. I think it's interesting, verse 11, he says that I may attain the resurrection from the dead is what the ESV has. Is that what yours has?
Yeah, the resurrection.
It's literally resurrection from the corpses. So I don't want to be one of the corpses. I don't want to just be. So how do I have my sins forgiven? How do I have righteousness? It's only because of Jesus. How do I escape death? It's only because of Jesus. And then to your point, I think you were trying to make a while ago, verse 12 is where you really get into this. Not that I've already obtained or I'm already perfect. I haven't obtained the knowing Jesus like I want to, the level of perfection on that I want to. But I'm constantly wanting to press forward, to reach forward. The imagery here is like the guy that's right at the end of a race and he's stretching out, trying to be the first guy that breaks the tape at the end, the finish line or whatever. It's a zealous pursuit. And being at least as zealous pursuing Jesus as I was pursuing the church to persecute it formally, at least.
Yeah, it's not about the works. It's about our relationship with him. And, you look at it and you say, how do you know that? Well, if it was about the works, then verses, 3-6 would have mattered a lot more, because that all kind of describes some of the works and the things that Saul, Paul was involved with. But it's not about the works, and that's why he's so readily calling it loss and nothing and rubbish, is that it doesn't matter. And so what matters is having this relationship with him and continuing to follow and imitate him. Sometimes that means following him whenever it's uncomfortable, following him whenever it's not popular, following him whenever, there's obstacles in the way. But
what it means submitting my will to others.
Yeah. And whenever it means me not being the most important in the room, which seems to be something that was a struggle here, which is why Paul, I think, brings up this whole section to begin with. And so,
and make no mistake about it, he's not saying obedience and following Jesus, growing in our relationship with him, is not important. But what he's saying is that's not what brings about righteousness.
Right.
That's not the source. My account is credited with the righteousness of God if I'm in Christ. How do I get in Christ? Well, I put my faith and trust in him. I'm baptized into Christ. That's where the blood is at. I have my sins washed away. But notice he says in verse 12 that the reason that I'm pushing, the reason that I'm pressing forward, the reason I'm trying to grow to do what's right and not do what's wrong, the reason I'm trying to, develop the fruit of the Spirit in my life, the reason that I'm choosing to show love, mercy, and grace, the reason that I'm putting others before self, all these different things, is because, he says at the very end, Christ Jesus has made me his own.
Well, and you look at the wording, what he's trying to attain here is the resurrection. But he talks about here in verse 12, literally, he says, I press on so that I may lay hold of that. I continue what I'm doing so that I can get to that goal. But
the reason I do that is because he's made me his own.
I didn't lay hold of it. I was laid hold of it by Jesus Christ.
Well, I was laid hold of by Jesus.
Right. So
he claimed me.
I didn't get to it by myself. Jesus is the only reason that I've been brought near to that goal.
And he's already called him Lord in this context. If he's our Lord, the only way we have the righteousness of Jesus is if we allow him to be Lord. That's what we're confessing.
Yeah.
Jesus as Lord. That doesn't mean we're confessing that he is Lord. That means we're confessing that Jesus is my Lord.
Yep.
So why am I pressing forward? Because he says it this way, Christ Jesus has made me his own. In other words, I belong to him, is what he's saying.
Yep.
Since I belong to him, he's the master, I'm the servant, I've got to do what he says. I don't do it for righteousness. He's given me righteousness when I'm in him. I do it because I belong to him now. And because I belong to him, because he's given me righteousness, because he's allowing me to be a part of the resurrection from the corpses, I can lose that if I turn away from him, but I'm not going to, because he owns me, and I'm going to let him continue to own me.
Yeah, it brings a lot more depth and dimension to chapter 1 and verse 23, whenever it, part of our first section of being like Paul, as he says, verse 23, I'm hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. My desire is to attain that resurrection. My desire is to be with him, but to be with you is better for you. It's to remain on the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Talk about someone who's putting others before self. My desire is to be with Christ. And so, if nothing else, realize this message is necessary enough and it's important enough for you to get that I'm delaying being with Christ, which is what I want to do, so that we can have this conversation and continue that message.
So if you don't belong to Jesus, give yourself to him. Believe in him, put your trust in him, confess him as Lord, be baptized into him, immersed in water to have your sins washed away. You'll belong to him. If you have done that, then live for him so that you, because you now belong to him, live for him so that you can be a part of that resurrection to be with him for eternity. Thank you for joining us for that today. We hope that that encourages you in that walk with him. We hope that you'll be back with us every day to continue to go through the text and see what his message for our lives really is as we study together on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.